This feast commemorates the time that Peter spent in Syria, which was the earliest really firm Christian center already in the first century. And Peter was there as leader, and then he went to Rome. And this commemorates that reality, but it also gives us the chance to reflect in faith on what is the church. It is hard for us to grasp what a gift the church is to the world. See, the holiness, the unity, the radiance of the church is a gift and also a task. It's given to us. Paul, the Ephesians, says, maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond. Maintain it. You can't create it. You can destroy it. But you can't create it. And we have this way, you see, that there is a human being who guides this whole reality. Christ, through this man, guides his body. And his body is one. We are so used, we have been so beaten down by division and sin and that we forget the gift. One body, united. And it is, and all those who are baptized in one way or another belong to this body. And they are all under the authority of Peter. Many know that. Many know that. They just don't know how to work it out. And John Paul II wrote that beautiful encyclical, Ut Unum Sint, that they be one. And he invited the leaders and the theologians of all the Christian groups that are not united to him to tell him what they think he should do, because his primary task is to be the minister of unity. That's his primary task. So, and some wrote, Olivier Clément, a French Orthodox, started, Dear Holy Father. You see, we're yearning for this. It's our stupidity. It's the cultural problems we've got. It's the memory of sin, mutual, and some objective theological problems that have to be worked out. But think, beg the Lord to give you an understanding, if you will, a mystical understanding of God's plan for this world, at the center of which is the church. Now realize, again, that it's a gift. I didn't make it up. I didn't do it. I didn't make myself Catholic. I was born a Catholic. It's not me. It's a gift. But it's also then a task. It's a task to build unity, to make the church radiant, and to reach out in love. It was also John Paul II who, in some letter, earlier letter, said, we Catholics will be judged much more severely than anybody else because we have been given so much more. And we will be to answer for it. What have you done with all the gifts I gave you? So today, we celebrate this feast of St. Peter and the reality. We have this text in Matthew. You see, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the netherworld, the forces of evil will never prevail against it. Never. Now, there are times when, for one reason or another, we've been very weak because of our sin. Other times when we've had an illusory sense of grandeur because we had a lot of money, because every ball that politicians were all obeying us in Europe and all the rest. That's illusory. That's not our power. See, our power comes from... We'll wait till the music stops. Our power comes from Jesus Christ, and it's radiant. Where did you, and how did he show his power? He died in an act of love. See, the power of the church is the power of a servant. And the power of every Christian is the power of a servant. But ask the Lord today to give you a living sense. The Lord has made this explicit, has he not? As the world has become more one, he has raised up. He has raised up person after person to an extraordinary degree. Starting with Pius the Ninth, Pius the Tenth, Benedict the XV, Pius the XII, Pius the XI was good too. And then John Paul the Second. John the 23rd. And then Paul the Sixth. And then after a brief interlude with a very fine man, John Paul the Second. And now Benedict the 16th. These are extraordinary people. And he's put them on a candlestick. The whole world knows about them. And of course, there is disobedience, cynicism, and just plain ignorance. And you see, it's the grace is that there is a human being. There's not a contract or statutes that are the heart of the church. It's a human being. It's a man. You can argue with a man, like Paul did with Peter. It's human. There it says right here, you do this. Not the heart of the church. Of course, we've got rules and regulations and canon law and all kinds of things. But the heart of the church, the ministry of the unity, you see, is a human being. It's not a contract. So you can talk to him, you can listen to him, you can argue with him, you can try to hear the voice of the Lord through him. That's faith. And as I say, yeah, have you read his Lenten letter yet? It's out there, you know, it's all over the place, you know that. Just type up on Google, put Benedict the 16th Lenten letter, boop, it'll come right up. And there you got it. Exhortation to love. To love. To understand what this is all about. And we just read yesterday, we read his description of Lent. I anticipated by a day because I wanted to start Lent off with that. But it's in the Magnificat for today. This is a challenge of faith. And you see, we have to be careful not to be swamped by noise and busyness so that we don't understand who we are and why we are here in this world and what our responsibility is to this world to bring to it the love, the power, the healing mercy, the truth of Jesus Christ. Faith. I have prayed for you, Peter, singular, that your singular faith fail not, and you, having been confirmed, can confirm your brethren. But it's Peter's faith. That's why we pray for him at every Mass, along with the local leader of our church, Donald Worrell. These are realities. And we're so swamped and we're so big, the nation, the world, everything, you know. You eat your cereal from Florida and you put on your coat from Tahiti and you don't lose sight of the humanity of the church. And it's awesome, unique, all-important role in the world.